God is good. We serve a covenant-keeping God. That's not a light statement. That means simply that God will never lie. If he said it, he will do it. I never cease to be amazed at how God works. In my 50 years of being a Christian, God has been God. I can't explain it. When my back is against the wall and there seems to be no escape, you look right, look left, look up, look down. Everything inside of you says your goose is cooked. And you see the enemy pressing so hard and you know not what to do. All of a sudden, you're on the other side of the problem. I say, what happened? God. Yeah, he fights for me. Picks you up and puts you in a new place. And you just, oh my God. But how quickly we forget. Because when the next trouble comes, if you go back, oh, what am I going to do? What did you do the last time? What exactly did you do the last time that got you out of the trouble? So the wisest thing to do at all times is just look up to God and trust him. Because it's a covenant-keeping God. He told Abraham, I have your back and your children and your children's children. All their enemies have just basically fallen and are no longer here. But Israel is still here. See the Bible that you hold in your hands. How many times they've tried to destroy it, burn it. But the Bible is still here. It's the Word of God. Because within those pages are his covenant promises. So today we have much to give God thanks for. Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Father, that you are covenant-keeping God. You will never leave us nor forsake us. We surrender our lives to you. And we say, Father, have your way. You are the potter. And we are the clay. Mold us and make us after thy will while we are here waiting, yielded, and still. Be exalted, Father, and enlarge our voice to reach the world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me grab my bottle of water. Oops. Let me be seated. We're studying through the book of Proverbs. We got to the 11th chapter, and I believe we're in the 26th verse of the chapter, Proverbs 11, 26. But actually, let me take it up from verse 18 and work myself through to the 26th verse. It says here, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. Wicked people work deceitfully. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. God says here, wicked people work out deceitful works. They're deceptive. They just do evil, expecting to get whatever it is they want to accomplish in the life of the person that they want destroyed. But it's interesting, the word of God says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, colon. And then says, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. There will be a sure reward to the person who's sowing righteousness, to the person who is given access, not deception. Deception, it doesn't say anything about the wicked worketh a deceitful work and shall reap deceit. It is assumed. You sow evil, you reap evil. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. And is it how amazing it is that people plan and put in motion wicked things and they camouflage it in deceptive ways so that you don't know that evil is in the mix. There's this beautiful, amazing, decorated cake. It's just awesome. So moist, glazed and icing and everything, but inside of it, mixed inside the dough, mixed inside whatever it is poison. It's poison. And say, I bake this just for you. You're so special. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for being so nice. And really, the plan is to kill you. That's deception. Deception. It says, wicked people work. They work at it. But to him that soweth righteousness. Now, if you're going to sow righteousness, you work at it too. You have to dig the hole. You have to bring the seed and sow it. And God says, there shall be a sure reward. A sure reward. Every seed will produce after its kind. And if righteousness is access and right standing, then you are always going to stand in the right place at the right time and have access because you give access to somebody. I was just talking to the Lord just a moment back there. This has never happened to me before, so I rebuke the devil. I was driving, you know how these panhandlers are in this corner of the street? And I drove on Leela, and I was on Mark Phillips, and the corner of Leela and Mark Phillips. I had $1,000 in my hand. And there's this guy who was begging. And I just had an inkling to give him the $1,000. I said, no way, I rebuke the devil, get out of here. I'll give this guy, what is he going to use the money for? I drove away, disturbed. As I'm driving away, I'm thinking, is it the Lord? I know I've heard the Lord before, but sounded like the Lord, but maybe I'm hearing things here. Why? Because it was $1,000. And the $1,000 that was in my hand wasn't even mine. I would have had to replace it. I drove away, went off my mind, but I'm here singing. And I remember the situation again. What if that guy needed that money for rent? What if that's what he was believing God for? What if that might have been an angel? And all I could say then was, Lord, I repent. If that's you, give me another chance to do it right. When you talk about sowing, I might be that person, maybe not at the corner of the street, but in need. And if God spoke to somebody, I expect them to be God and not judge me based on what they think. How did you get into this situation? Just do the right thing. The reality is that every one of us face a situation. What I face may not be what you face. And it's not like I have $1,000 hanging around somewhere. I need the $1,000. But if it is something that God wants me to sow because he has a million on his mind for me, who lost? I'm not saying that you sow $1,000 to the Lord, then you get a million. God is not some casino, whatever it is you call those things. But God is faithful. And if I am teaching the saints to believe God, to hear God, to be discerning, then I need to be also one who hears and is discerning. Maybe I did the right thing. Maybe I was discerning and I left. But I need to come to that place in me where it is absolutely clear to me I heard from God. I know many times I heard. Doesn't matter what anybody says, this is what I heard, this is what I'm going to do, but it has to be 100%, not 90%. That capacity to hear clearly from God and to do righteously. Amen? The Bible goes on in verse 19. It says, as righteousness tendeth to life, This is what righteousness is. It tends to life. It tends to life. Not only tended to life in terms of righteousness leads to life, but righteousness takes care of life. Now I know all the reasons why the Lord brought me to that particular situation. Standing to life. So he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. You pursue evil, you pursue it to your own death. Some people die. And people say, oh, he was such a nice person. How could this have happened to this person? Well, maybe they were deceitful working people. I'm not saying everyone is like that. But if you pursue after evil, he says, you're going to pursue it to your own demise. So stay away from evil. Stop speaking evil. Stop acting evil. Stop doing evil. Stop entertaining evil. Stop embracing evil. Shun it. He says, they that are of a froward, proud, arrogant heart are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way, upright in their way, are his delight. What is this upright in their way? Upright in their way means that they are engaging in the operations of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when you are working the workings of faith, believing, trusting, God says, you're my delight. Because the practice of evil is a practice of reverse faith. The one practicing evil thinks that they will get away with that evil and nobody will know about it. That's the bedrock of their deceptive ways. The righteous person, the upright person, also believes in God. What his belief is not just believing in himself, but rather believing in God. That God is his source, God is his provider, and so every decision that has been made is being made under that platform. God is faithful. I will do righteously. This person doesn't give because he has. This person gives because he knows he should, to be a blessing. And so it's not always like I was doing today, checking how, if I give this $1,000 away to this guy that I don't know, that's standing on the corner of the street, who gives $1,000 to somebody like that? Why did that thought come across my mind in the first place? That's not how I think. How I think is, you have a need, you're on the corner of the street, I'm not giving you any money because I don't know if you're going to use it to go buy some crack cocaine. I'll take you to that restaurant there, I'll pay your bill, then I'll go on. And I've done that so many times. But give this person money? No. That was totally unlike me. Well, because it was totally unlike me, It's what concerns me that I had that thought. Even for a nanosecond. And if God is reminding me about that particular situation again, while I'm singing unto him, then I really need to reflect what happened this evening. I repent if I missed it. Lord, give me another chance to correct this. Help me. That's where we start. Then it goes on and says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Doesn't matter whether they are unified, planning an assault on you, he says they are not going to go unpunished. But the seed, the generations, the children of the righteous shall be delivered. So in my giving and helping, I protect my children for generations. Levi gave tithe in Abraham, his great-great-grandchild. And when Abraham was given tithe, Levi, that was in him, in the sons, him and so on, was given tithe. And deliverance is happening for 1,000 generations. What I do impacts 1,000 generations. The righteous shall be delivered. It didn't say the righteous should be. It says shall. That's emphatic. This is going to happen. It doesn't matter what they do, but because of what you've done, I will deliver them. That's exciting news. And if we know that, then we don't need to fret or worry about our children or our children's children. You just know that you're doing your thing, and there is a covenant-keeping God that will do his thing. So why am I having a sleepless night? Why am I worrying and getting my nice face wrinkled? You wonder what I said? Hallelujah. The wicked shall not be unpunished. It's a guarantee. You plan wickedness, you will reap that harvest. It says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. It looks like there's a shift here, but really not. You're not going to put a nice gold ring in the nose, the snout of a pig. It's out of place. And so also is a lack of discretion in the life of a fair woman. In other words, a woman of honor, dignity, and virtue should have discretion, have proper judgment. Proper judgment, make right decisions. The desire of the righteous is only good. If you're righteous, then your only desire is good. Anything that's good, you're 100% for it. If it's not good, you don't want anything to do with it. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So in essence, the expectation of the righteous is only good. Hear that. So when the word of God says the desire of the righteous is only good, it's talking about his expectation. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. What the wicked should expect is the wrath of God. Not good. You know, the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I remember I was in a meeting with a group of men and women of God at a church on Bethel, on Burroughs. I think it was called Bethel something. And one of the persons that we were with was trying to acquire that particular building. When I made a statement, and the statement was, God only has good for you. Embrace it. And another minister says, I hate it when people say things like that. You hate it when people say, well, what? They should expect only good things. Bad things happen to people. Well, but that's not my expectation. The word of God tells me. The only thing I should be expecting is good, not evil. So all things work together for my good. The good, the bad, the ugly, whatever it is, happens for my good. So when something is happening, all is good is here. What do you mean good is here? Something bad just happened. I'm telling you, good is here. God has something good on his mind for me. There's something he wants to teach me. There's something he wants to impart to me. Surely goodness and mercy follow me. If that's not your expectation, then expect wrath. I don't think God plans to give any one of us bad stuff. You don't ask God for an egg and then or your father for an egg and he gives you a scorpion. If your evil dads know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will God give you the Holy Spirit? Wow. It's amazing. The Word of God says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. It's just and yet it's increasing. And there is one that withhold it more than is meet, more than is necessary. It's not saying don't withhold. It says don't withhold more than you need to. For tendeth to poverty. Instead of giving, you're grabbing. Everything you can grab. It's going to tend to poverty. It's going to lead you to poverty. It's going to bring you to the place where you're servicing poverty. But I have so much, I gather so much into pockets with holes. says, however, the liberal soul, the one that is liberal in just giving away, shall be made fat. In other words, made prosperous, made successful. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You see somebody else, and you're watering whatever it is that they sow, he says, you're going to be watered too. Because you need water for life. Do you want to be watered? Then have a liberal soul, a giving heart. You know what I found out through the years? It is those many times that have needs that end up being givers. They just want to give because they understand the pain of not having. And when you love enough, you share. You share. I was watching my grandkids a few days back. And one had something that they were eating and said, I want some of this. What they had was little, but the other one didn't have it. So they shared. I said, wow. Wow. Interesting. Interesting. I was with my great-granddaughter. Two of them, but one is just a month plus. The one that's about a year and a half old, is eating something and is trying to feed me with it. Sharing. That little kid wrapped me around her little pinky. It's just incredible. Everything that she does is just adorable. I want to say, wow, who has blessed me like this? What a good, good, good God. I'm able to play with my great, great. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. You love people? God knows how to show you love back. I was by my house this afternoon and to their sons, helping working and doing stuff for me there. And I said, Lord, how you've blessed me. These people are here helping me. Didn't ask me for this or for that. They just doing stuff. And I started thinking about all the people that have invested their lives. It's not just, you see, money is one thing. Money is an exchange for your life. Say, what do you mean by that? If you go to work for somebody, for 8 hours. You are given 8 hours of your life. And they are paying you for 8 hours of your life. But this is where it gets really interesting. The Word of God says, whatever it is that you do, do it as unto the Lord. Because if people are just paying you for your life, you are getting cheated. Because your life is not worth $30 an hour or $50 an hour or even $1,000 an hour. You're worth more than that. So every time you're doing something, you do it, this is as unto the Lord, because then the reward is coming from the Lord to you. Whatever it is that you get in the natural is just seed. Thank you for this seed. Thank you. But I know, Father, that my reward comes from you. This is like a sip of water. But I know you have an ocean for me. It's a totally different perspective. Totally different way of looking at things. And so when we come to verse 26, where we're supposed to have started from, but I think it was good that I started from verse 18. He that withholdeth corn is food, corn is seed, corn is the future when it is sown. Corn is a temporary future when it is eaten. So what do you mean? You have the corn, you eat it, you nourish your body, you're strong for this moment. You don't have a guarantee for tomorrow and next week and next year. It's only going to nourish you for the amount of time that that corn can nourish your body. But if you sow it, that corn continues to reproduce. One corn produces many cobs. You have a meal. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. Not God, people. You have what I need, and you're withholding it. You are cursed. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Blessing on the head of him that sells it. You're not withholding it to create an inflated price. You're not keeping it, withholding it, so that you can eat for yourself and nobody else. It's as if that's how you live in your life, you want stuff and you want to keep it to yourself, you'll be cursed by people. But if you sell it, and in this case, you could have said, you could have given it. It says, just, even if you don't give it, you sold it so that somebody else can have it. He says, blessings shall be upon your head. What's the point? The point is making sure that somebody else is serviced. Somebody else has an opportunity to experience what you have. Sell it, you give it free, it doesn't matter. Blessings shall be upon you. But you're keeping it, keeping, just living for yourself. He says, you're going to be cursed, period. He that diligently, in a committed manner, seeketh good, you're pursuing after good, he says, you're going to procure favor. You're going to procure favor. You're going to collect. And you're going to be able to dispense favor. You experience it, you give it. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. That's what you're looking for, mischief. It will come to you. You get it. Too many people think they get away with stuff. I got away with it. So you think. Mischief is coming. Because you've done mischievous things. People act funny, not straightforward. I've seen it out in the world. I've seen it in church. People acting mischievously. They say one thing from this side of their mouth and another thing from this side of their mouth. They split-tongued. Like a serpent. And they think they're getting away with it, and then, boom, mischief hits them. And sometimes the mischief that hits them for a warning. A warning. It's like, pow, a warning shot. So you can cry out to God and I repent. I remember what I did. I did so wrong. That was not right. Let me go and talk to the person I hurt. Let me deal with this situation and correct it. No, they don't. Sometimes they feign hurt and cry crocodile tears. Look what they did to me. Been so nice. It's all a game. Just an outright game. It comes to bite. You do it to somebody else. Somebody's going to come and do it to you. Now, I'm not saying that bad things that come and happen in people's lives is necessary because of whatever it is that they've sown. Sometimes bad things happen to people because God is setting them up for a greater and better experience. If they don't take offense. A good example of that is the life of Joseph. Thrown into the pit, sold as a slave to Potiphar, lied on, accused of something that he didn't do, thrown into prison again, but he's still not embracing bitterness. All those bad things that were happening to him were not a result of the mischievous things that he did. But in spite of it, what God was basically moving him up the ladder, even though he did not know it. And before he knew it, he was the prime minister of Egypt. evil, 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 but still there. So sometimes bad things happen to people not because of what they've done, but because of who they are and where they are supposed to be. And the only way you can know the difference is you knowing the purity of your heart. Nobody can come here today, tomorrow, or ever and say that I have dealt mischievously with pastors that I've worked with through the years. That's not possible. It's not possible because it was never done. Have I been disappointed by pastors? Too many times. Too many times. However, I have not taken offense. Not one time. One time I was close. Close because I was disappointed because of what I thought of the person and what I intended to do for the person. Just shook my head. Pushed it aside. Not going to allow any offense. You don't allow offenses. Because when you allow offenses, you embrace mischief, and it will find you. If you want to escape, you trust God completely. You trust God completely. I'd rather, as a pastor, if you come to me and tell me, Pastor, I want to hang around you for a while. I want to learn some things. I want to start my own church. I say, come on in, come on in. It's about the kingdom. I know you're going to go at some time. Then you come and tell me, I'm going to stay here with you. I'm going to do this and do that and do this and not do one thing. Who did you lie to? You lied to yourself. You may start something, but the end of it is going to be mega pain. Not because I'm going to create that pain for you, but because you are going to reap what you sowed. And it will come to you the time that it will hurt you the most. Things are going to fall apart when the center doesn't hold, somebody once said. You seek good, you procure favor. Favor. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, favor. You're marked out. You're separated. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I really feel I should do this for you. Favor. God fights for you. God hides you. You move. They don't know where you are, what you're doing. You're just gone. What happened? Who told him? What we were planning? God grants you favor, but you plan mischief? That's you trying to find protection for yourself, provision for yourself, trying to deceive somebody to get somewhere, you'll find a deceiver that will deceive you. It's just the way it is. These are spiritual laws. You don't want it to happen to you, don't do it to somebody else. If you trust in riches, you're going to fall. Spiritual law. He that trusted in his riches, trusted in his bank account, trusted in his shares and bonds and cryptocurrency, whatever. Oh, this is what I'm going to do with this. And da, 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 da. You trust in that, you're going to fall. You are going to fall. Something is going to happen, and all of that that you have saved is going to fall into the hands of somebody else. To a rich man, hoarded and hoarded and hoarded and hoarded and hoarded and hoarded. One day, God says, "Thou fool, tonight you die." He says, "Who's going to handle all of this wealth that had been provided?" Never place your trust in what you have. If you have $1 billion or $1 trillion, you know, one of these days we're going to have somebody that is so wealthy, the person is going to be called a trillionaire. I was thinking that 2 days ago. I said, wow, in my lifetime I'm going to see somebody that's a trillionaire. You have, what do you do with that kind of money? Well, even if you had $1 trillion and you had a situation that needed just $1 billion to address it, you have more than enough. But this is what God says. Don't put your trust in the trillion that you have. Put your trust in me. Talk to me about it, and I'll tell you whether you need any billion from your trillion, or I'm going to get it from somewhere else and give it to you. When do you, as somebody that is wealthy, ever ready to reap a harvest financially? You know how many people that are wealthy give, but nobody ever gives anything to them? And if you were to give them $10, they will be so, oh, somebody gave me $10. Because nobody's ever given anything to them. Everybody wants something from them. And the teaching is this: don't place your trust in what you've got. Place your trust in God. And let God, it says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. Because I have $20 billion in the bank does not mean that I am called to spend any of it on myself or on anything else. Sometimes God wants to just bless me with something. Solomon was so rich. And the Queen of Sheba comes and dumps so much wealth on him. Always expect good. Expect that somebody's going to bless you. Somebody's going to give something to you. Because you're also waiting every day for an opportunity to give something to somebody. Just give. He says, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Jesus, our Lord, said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Any branch in me that beareth not fruit will be cut off. But you, if you bear fruit, you'll be pruned so that you can bear much more fruit. How is that? Because you are in me and I am in you. You are in my word and my word is in you. You want to flourish, you have to have the word of God. Amen? That's so crucial. Simple, not direct. Because it's the word of God, ultimately. The word of God says, the word, the seed is the word of God. And what you and I need is that word activated in our lives. If you're not doing that, then you're one who is troubling your own house. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. Don't trouble your own house. Your house is this physical body. Don't trouble it. Your house is where you are living. Don't trouble it. Your house is the temple, the house of God. Don't mess up with it. How do you trouble your own house? You trouble your own house when you're not seeding into that house. Seeding what? The word of God to souls. The greatest message of giving is about us making sure that what we've got in God goes on to somebody else. Whether you freely give it by handing out books or messages or whatever, or you sell it like some people do. You know, you print books and sell it. And says that's fine. You're not keeping the good stuff all to yourself. You're publishing it in whichever way you can. Blessing of God shall be upon you. But if you trouble your own house, you are going to inherit the wind. What does the wind do? Blows off chaff. What is the chaff? Ungodliness. Someone says, but the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff that is blown by the wind. Then it makes a remarkable statement. Notice the colon there. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And I talked about that having to do with souls. He says, and the fool, who's the fool? The fool is the one who says there is no God in his heart, shall be servant to the wise of heart. Who's the one who is wise of heart? The one that winneth souls. He that winneth souls is wise, the word of God says. But if you're a fool, then you're not investing in making sure that somebody else gets saved. You're all about yourself. all your goosebumps, oh, the anointing, oh, all my hair standing up, oh, she. And then what happened? Then what? You and I need to be productive and make sure that we invest in seeing to it that somebody gets saved. Somebody gets saved. Share with them any which way you want to. Help them connect. Because if you are a fruitful branch, the Word of God says the fruit of the righteous branch, the fruit of the righteous, is the tree of life. It's the tree of life. And the tree of life produces life. That's what it does. Produces life. Your fruitfulness is you producing seeds that become trees of life. And the trees of life feed life. And he that winneth souls is what? Wise. That is powerful. He that wins souls is wise. And if you're wise, you have a special gift. In fact, the Word of God says in James, if you don't have wisdom, ask God. And he'll give to you. He's not going to look down at you. He's going to help you. And so we all can cry out to God and say, God, I need wisdom. Wisdom to teach. Wisdom to preach. Wisdom to bring people into the kingdom. Help me to be a soul winner. Help me to bring in a harvest. Give me your present word for daily living. I trust you. God will give. We will not all speak to people the same way. But when we have that gift, God knows who you can reach. I cannot reach some people. No matter how hard I try. Well, Candy might. Deaconess Sherry might. Somebody else might. But I can't reach them. We are all working towards the same objective. We're working for the Master. And we're wanting that what he died and paid the price for goes home with us to him. We don't go buying stuff in the store, pay for it and walk away, leaving the stuff there. No, you take what you paid for. And that's what we're doing. We're saying, Lord Jesus, you paid the price. Which one of this one did you buy? Okay, this one. I'm taking this one with me. I'm bringing this one home. That's what we're doing. We're just turning on the lights on for them, because everyone that is born has the light of God in them. John 1 tells us, and all we're doing is turning on the lights, letting them know God is not angry with them. God loves them. That all the nonsense you've been hearing well, God doesn't care about them and God doesn't understand them. That's all fake news from the devil's gazette. And we are not publishing his stuff. We just want people to know God is a good God. He's not mad at them. He wants the best for them and he wants to lift them up. And I have a place I can take you to where you can learn more about your rights. Where's that? My church. Come. It's right at the corner of Main and Church. So you can call it the Main Church. Come there. You're going to hear the word of God. No nonsense word. And you're going to be changed. And they come and say, well, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad that you brought me here. I didn't know this place was in here. And you keep them. You befriend them. You chat with them. You help them. You don't see them in church. You call them and say, I didn't see you. I hope everything is fine. Yeah, everything's fine, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Do you need anything? No? Okay, I'll see you on Sunday. Or I'll see you on Wednesday. Or I'll see you on Friday. Whatever. And you come again. Because sometimes it takes more than once. You just connect with them. And bring them into the fold. Take root, they become that tree of life. That's what God wants every one of us to do. And I'll wrap up with this verse. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. Huh? The righteous shall be recompensed where? In the earth? I thought when we all get to heaven. No. In the earth, God will recompense, God will reward me, God will bless me here in the earth. I don't need no blessing in heaven. What do I need a blessing for in heaven? There's no curse there, there's no mess up there. It's all good. I don't need no blessing there. I need a blessing here. Well, when we all get to heaven, we shall all wear white robes. Okay, that's good. Is that it? Oh, maybe I'll be playing my ukulele. Oh, and what else? No, God wants me blessed here. I don't need healing in heaven. I need healing here. I don't need money in heaven. I need it here. There's nothing that I need in heaven. There's no need in heaven. There's absolutely no need of anything in heaven. So God says, I'll bring heaven to your earth so you can be my ambassadors. And that's the gift of being a soul winner. You become an ambassador with the ministry of reconciliation. God wants me to live here in the earth as if I was in heaven. The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. Not recompensed when you're so old and your teeth are falling out and you can't hear anything. Hey, honey, what did you say? Did you say anything? No. So old, you're walking with, I don't know what you call those things. That's when the blessing is supposed to come? No, when I can enjoy it. I need my teeth all together to bite on that steak. I don't want to gum it. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm helping myself tonight. No, the blessing now. The blessing now. In my going out and in my coming in, the blessing. The blessing. Day and night. Day after day, uttered speech of the glory of God upon my life. Night after night, I receive revelations, deep insights and knowledge of the things of God, and my steps are ordered of the Lord. Every step I take is orchestrated by the wisdom of the Almighty. That's what experiencing the recompense. So we'll end it tonight. And we pray, Father, thank you for the gift of righteousness. Let this gift of righteousness that you've bestowed upon us invoke even now the manifestation of manifold blessings, every recompense that you have promised for the righteous. We shun everything that is of the devil. We say no to Satan and all his cohorts. We declare this very moment, Satan, the Lord God Almighty rebukes you. Loose me and loose the people of God, free from every limitation, and let the abundance of God's goodness pursue after us and overtake us. Thank you, Lord, for the wave of blessings. Thank you, Father. We speak healing into the lives of those that have been traumatized one way or the other by a happening in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for divine health. Thank you, Lord, that the elections in the states are more or less complete. And Lord, oh God, that as we ask that you will choose the right people for presidency, for the Senate, for Congress. But now, Lord, we also ask, oh God, for the bureaucrats, all the secretaries and handlers and whoever it is that will be attached to the movement of the machinery of government, that the right people will be in place. Anyone that will be a practitioner of evil, spit out. We pray that for the United States, and we pray that for this great nation of Canada. Do for us extraordinary things as the days of our elections are soon to be called. We are asking for an outpouring of favor, for a realignment in this nation that will dumbfound the powers of darkness, because God, you are putting together a coalition that works out the workings of God by the leading of the Spirit. We thank you that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so very much for participating tonight. On Friday, the service is going to start at 6:30. Because it's a special service, an impartation service for our young ones, anyone that has children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nephews, nieces, cousins, whoever is a child. And if you feel like you're a child and you need a fresh impartation, then you need to be here. Invite other people to come. Say, well, the people I know, some of them are not saved. They especially need to be here. God wants to touch every one of us. Amen? So seize that opportunity to bring people here on that day. And it's not a service that you want to do by Zoom. If you can be here in person, praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving, express our thanksgiving to Him for His manifold blessings. Amen. Is there anyone here for the first time? It's your first time here? Okay, I don't see anyone. The lights are so much in my eyes, I don't see your faces. But now that I've shaded my eyes a little bit, I can see you. Well, you're able to do your giving through online connections. You can do it through the website. You can do it through e-transfer. Whichever way God speaks to you to give today, do so. Be one of those that scatters but yet increases. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, we'll say good night to those who are on YouTube and Facebook, and we'll talk to those that are on Zoom.